Hi, I'm Erin Blanchfield, and I'm in Jersey City.
Luke Thomas, nice to meet you. How are you?
Brian.
BC's getting mic'd up over there.
Erin Blanchfield in the flesh, how are you?
Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to meet you.
I mean, I know it's like a sit down, so I know it's kind of probably like more relaxed, just kind of talking, maybe getting to like know my background.
Look, you got a big piece of fuzz on your lower right chest there. Yeah.
So happens when you got two dogs, motherfucker.
Yeah, man.
Can I see the wide real quick? I look like Gandalf. What? I mean, this is crazy.
There's also a loose spring on that chair, so you get a little.
You get a little extra action in the back. It's fun.
What was this called, especially? The green matcha ice cream latte? I thought it was going to be something, you know, like an afternoon dessert. It tastes like the bottom of a tire. It's great.
Nice. Matcha's like hit or miss.
Yeah.
How old do I look?
49.
Yeah, right.
Okay. You know what? No is the answer.
Okay. A compliment, considering how old.
No, I mean she aged me 7 years.
Oh, she said 49?
49, yeah, motherfucker.
39. Oh, all right.
She was like, you should be in a fucking wheelchair already.
Wow, 49. That's cold blooded.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
there.
Fucking A.
Wow. All right.
Well, our next guest is just, I mean, beating the shit out of people in the women's flyweight division in the UFC, absolutely battering Molly McCann when the UFC was back here in New York. And we were like, well, we gotta talk to this person, this maniac who's doing these incredible things, all less than 25 years of age. It is the pride of New Jersey. It's Erin Blanchfield. Hi, Erin. How are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm good. How are you?
You are from what part of New Jersey?
I'm from Elmwood Park, New Jersey.
Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
So is that like Jersey Shore? Is that like...
Yeah, where are you in the Jersey
taxonomy? Is it like
taxonomy?
Near Patterson? You could die in Patterson pretty easily. Right?
I'm pretty close to Patterson. Yeah, that's definitely not a safe place, but I'm close to there. I'm more North Jersey. It's close to like the city. I'm like half hour from like New York City. Yeah, so I'm nowhere near the shore, really.
Okay. Yeah. What's the reputation of like Jersey City? Like when you pulled up on this street, first time I did, I'm like, you know, what kind of company am I working with? You know what I mean?
Jersey City is definitely a little bit of a rough city. I know has like it's been coming up a little bit, but definitely has a little bit of a rough reputation.
Oddly, it feels like home though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to tell her about what the guy across the street was doing one time. We were recording on the roof. I'll probably skip that part. But I will say this. The rent in Jersey, did you hear it's the most expensive in the country? I'm not doing a bit. It's the most expensive in
Jersey
the
City it is, okay?
Jersey City. Yeah. It's $5,000 a month.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Well, what the hell's going on? It's like, dude, Jersey City's half crime.
It's location, too. It's just being close to the city.
All right.
I think.
All right, can we not take another step forward without celebrating the moment you gave us as UFC fans, Erin? Not just slicing up them meatballs, which we can get into, but that walk-off. Like, your beautiful mother's in the room, so apologies. But you're like, motherfucker, cold-blooded. I mean, that was badass. Did you think it would have, like, it's not quite like Thug Rose, but it was like a moment where we're like, oh, shit, you know, she's for real, and she's kind of cold-blooded. I mean, was that a calculated moment right there, that walk-off?
You know, I remember kind of talking about that in the gym before, but I didn't really, like, think of doing it in that fight, but I think it was just like, I mean, I didn't really let the crowd and stuff bother me too much before the fight, but everyone was booing me. I know even when I was like in the cage and like I had her in crucifix and the crowd was silent whenever I was like winning. Then I remember she like got her arm out for a second. I could hear everybody cheering and I was like, fuck you guys. Like I was like definitely annoyed. So then got her right back. I was elbowing her again. So then when I got, usually like after a finish, especially I'm a little bit more emotional, but this one I think I was just like kind of pissed and I was like happy that I finished it as close as I did. So I think that's kind of why that reaction came.
I was going to say, were you surprised being typically the Jersey fighters get cheered in New York, but you did not.
No, I wasn't too surprised because I know how popular like Molly was and I know how much like that she was getting hyped up. So I knew that like that she would have a bunch of fans and then any like other random people that were there that didn't know me would just kind of like jump on that bandwagon. So I knew I was probably going to get some boos and I definitely did. But, you know, I mean, it was worth it at the end. So,
I mean, you didn't just win. And this is no disrespect to Molly. It's about you. But, I mean, you kicked her ass. You know, she was a fighter who was riding a lot of hype, and you ended that. Was it easier than you thought? I mean, you end up having this moment that announces you as an absolutely legitimate contender in this division. But in your mind coming in, it was going to be that easy?
I mean, I knew that I was much better than her everywhere, and I wanted to make a statement like that. I knew that I could put on that performance. It was just kind of like doing everything right, making the right decisions at the right time. And I knew that I just wanted to show that I was on a different level than someone like her.
When you say you knew you were better, how did you know?
I mean, just from like watching tapes and watching her previous fights and knowing the opponents she's had versus like the opponents I've had, that makes a big difference too. So I just knew the skills that I brought into that fight, and I knew she just couldn't hang with that.
So walk me through the fight. The first time you locked up with her, like, you knew going into the fight you were going to win, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough. A lot of fighters feel that way. In fact, All the ones we talk to all feel that way. But At what point during the fight could you realize this is not going to go well for her? Like, was there some, like, line you crossed or some physical interaction that could tell you that?
Well, I know even when we first, like, when the ref basically said go, I kind of, like, cut an angle, and I could tell right away that she wasn't as aggressive as, like, I remember her watching in her previous fights. And I was just kind of catching my shots. I caught her with a couple, double jab crosses. And I remember she swung a couple times. I got out of the way. There was, like, really nothing there. I can kind of see everything was, like, she kind of, like, threw everything from her hip. That's even the shot that I got from the one double leg I landed. She kind of, like, stepped back and, like, went to, like, load up on this overhand. And I knew, like, the second that she went to load up that I could duck right under that and take her down. It was, like, super slow, super choreographed. And when I saw that, I knew the fight was kind of mine. I was like, if she's doing that, like, she's not gonna be able to change that within this, like, 15 minutes if it went that long. So I got that double leg. And then when we were on the ground, I could just tell she didn't really have anything for me. She was kind of, like, she was flaring. She was trying to fight. She's tough. But she didn't really have any, like, anything there.
You know, when you see Dave Portnoy of Barstool, who's always wearing the Patty wig, and They back Molly hard. Was that like extra motivation to not just shut them up as the sort of representation of her, but to be like, hey, while you guys are, you know, throwing out some cash and representation, I'm cold blooded as shit, motherfucker.
Her mom's here, dude.
She swore too.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
It's okay. Yeah, she's heard it all. She grew up in Spanish Harlem, so I'm sure it's not too.
Oh, all right. I mean, What are we? I mean, this is G-related talk compared to that.
Well, okay. I mean, but the overall thing is this. I mean, that's Madison Square Garden. That's a breakthrough victory, and you seem very unfazed from the celebration to the nickname. Mm-hmm. For somebody your age at this early point in your career, they might not be as confident in there. What, like, how do you describe how this is just sort of like what you do? This is, you turned pro at 18.
Yeah.
You're still just a handful of years into the sport. Yeah. And now you're entering the title picture. How is it that, you know, this is what I do? This is what you do. I mean, yeah, is that easy?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I've been training since I was, like, 7 years old, and competing, like, basically since I started, like, 6 months after I started training, I was already competing. And, you know, I saw the UFC kind of blow up, especially with women like Ronda Rousey and stuff, when I was like 12, 13 or so. So I always kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And I knew the level was at, and I had other, like, pro fighters and stuff that I kind of knew that I trained at gyms with. So I kind of, like, could see what they were doing, like, the levels that people were at. So I always felt pretty confident. And when I went to compete, I was doing pretty well. So, like, I knew the level was at, and I knew how much better I could get and progression I could make. So that always kind of gave me confidence. And I was always, I love training, so I'm always in the gym getting better. So that kind of gives me a lot of confidence, too, going into fights and, like, moving up the rankings. So, yeah, honestly, it is just kind of, like, what I do. I feel like I've seen it since I was, like, a kid, and I'm just kind of, like, actually doing it now.
Walk me through your first time going to the gym. Set up the circumstances, and do you remember it as vividly as some fighters do?
I definitely do. I know I was dancing before that, so I danced from when I was, like,
what kind of dance?
I did ballet and tap.
Ballet and tap.
Yeah, so when I was like...
My dog, I have a 3-year-old doing ballet and tap.
Yeah, I started when I was three,
That means funny. Next is jiu-jitsu for her, Luke.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Yeah, yeah. My daughter's going to beat the shit out of me eventually. All right, here we go.
Yeah, so I did ballet and tap from when I was like 3 till I was like 6, 7-ish, I think. And then I quit that. My parents asked me if I wanted to sign back up, and I was just kind of like bored with it. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And my little brother just started training at the time. He was a couple of years younger than me. And I went to just go watch him at the gym one day. And it was kind of like, they were a little bit more of like a karate place, but they taught some like jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and stuff. So they still, everyone walked around with their like belts and stuff. So I remember walking in, and there was like a girl with a black belt on. And I was like, I went to my dad. I was like, oh my gosh, like girls can have black belts. Like I didn't know girls even really did it. Cause I guess in my mind, I just thought like guys did like karate or whatever. So I went and I watched him, and then she actually like offered, she was like, oh, do you want to like try like a little introductory kind of class? And I tried it. And then honestly, I was just hooked after that.
At what point did you not like when you're performing well, at what point did it dawn on you, like, I'm better than most of them?
Not till I was a little older. I'd say like 12, 13 when I started competing in I was already competing in grappling tournaments, but then I started throwing into like women's divisions and I was winning them too.
So you went from like kids grappling to like actual adult women.
Yes, like adult women when I was like 12, 13 years old, and I was like winning some, I mean, not everything, but I would win some matches, win some divisions. And I knew then that I was definitely like I could do it if I wanted to.
Okay. All right, some people never cross that threshold to go from, okay, dance, loved it, jiu-jitsu's fun, I'm winning tournaments, grappling, but then getting punched in the face, which is part of the job. You know, it might be different if you came up in boxing at a very young age. Was that transition just like nothing for you?
Yeah, so when I first started training, it was they taught like no-gi, jitsu, and kickboxing. So I was already kind of always getting we didn't get punched in the face as a kid, but we were already like sparring like to the body and stuff. And then when I was like a younger teenager, probably like 13, 14, I started like sparring, like full contact sparring. So it's something I've kind of always been used to. I know like even when I got into MMA, everyone kind of like pinned me as more of a jiu-jitsu person that never really did any striking. That's not necessarily true. I did it all growing up too. So it wasn't really something I had to like get used to.
So was Ronda Rousey versus Liz Carmouche, 2013, I believe, first UFC women's fight.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You're probably a young teenager at this point, but you're in the combat space in different disciplines. Is that a moment where you're like, I remember where I was and I remember what it made me feel? What's your situation for that?
For that, actually the first one I really remember, because like my dad was always super into UFC, so he always watched it, but I didn't really watch it till I got a little older. He used to watch UFC and he'd watch like Strikeforce and stuff too. He'd watch all the MMA organizations. So I remember watching Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate for the first time. And yeah, I was like, I forgot how old I was, but I was probably like a young teenager. And I remember watching that and being like, oh, like that's so cool. Like I know I could do that. And then when Rousey got into UFC and I saw Carmouche, I remember like, I think I watched both of them like at my house, like in my living room, like sitting there like, oh my gosh, like I could do that too if I want to, you know what I mean?
This is the first generation, her age, 23 years old, first generation of people who had that moment.
Yeah.
It's like the Beatles, Ed Sullivan show for our parents, Luke, those old.
I'm not that old. Okay. I mean, before the show, I was like, Aaron, how old am I? She's like 75, bare min.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a little bit harsh, but
well, I checked
quite.
Wikipedia. Yeah. I was 21 when she was born, so, you know.
You were born in 1999?
Yes.
I was in my sophomore year of college.
Yeah. So her guess on 49 may not be that far.
Yeah, I mean, it's. can I say it's unfair? I can't say it's unfair. All right. So you're a young teen. You're seeing all these formative things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, around the time of high school, you don't have to set out your life, but everything's exciting because it's the next adult chapter of your life. You knew from the moment around high school, it sounds like, that this was going to be your future. When did you begin to realize and accept or even like seek out the idea of this is going to be a profession for me?
I mean, I feel like honestly, even when I got into high school, I already kind of knew that. I would train with even like the wrestling team a little bit because I knew some of the coaches that from gyms that I trained at previously. So I feel like all throughout high school, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I honestly kind of just, I mean, I always trained. I always took it serious. I always competed in what I could because I couldn't do MMA yet because you have to be 18, like around here to fight MMA. I feel like if I could do it younger, I definitely would have. But I did like kickboxing fights, Muay Thai fights, and just grappling tournaments. But I always knew that MMA, like right after high school, and like once I was 18, I wanted to do that.
When you said you did the other competitions, we're talking like kickboxing and like shin pads and stuff like that on amateur rules?
Yes, I did amateur rules. I did do one like Muay Thai fight with no shin guards when I was like 17. So I had some experience with that before. Yeah.
When you told your, did you have a conversation with your folks? Like, I'm going to do this.
Not really. I think they just always knew, like, because we always watched fighting and my dad was super into it. So he would always drive me around to the gyms and stuff, too. He knew how into it I was. And they both loved it. They'd always come watch me fight and compete. So it wasn't even something we had to talk about. It was just kind of like, no. Like, if I didn't do it, it would have been weird, I think. You know what I mean?
Do they go to your fights?
Oh, yeah. They love it. They come to all my fights. They've always.
It must drive them crazy, though, when you're in the middle of battle.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty used to it now. I think the last one definitely bothered my mom a little bit because of the crowd booing me and stuff. But yeah, they love watching me fight. It's never been like a problem. My little brother always, he corners me in all my fights. He competed all growing up and stuff too. So it's kind of like a whole family thing. We're all into it.
Your dad was just a fan?
Yeah, no, my dad did some little boxing stuff when he was a kid. But he didn't like compete or anything. He's just always been a fan and, he just supported me and my brother.
Well, his fandom turned into something pretty remarkable. I have to say, you and your brother, right?
Yeah.
Is your brother going to fight pro eventually too?
Well, he's in college right now. I think he's studying like criminal justice, so he might kind of like stay that route. But he always trains and he teaches at some of the gyms we train at too. So he's kind of like involved in the life for sure.
Remarkable. Okay.
I love it. Like, her youth kind of normalizes whatever stigma used to be there of MMA. I mean, even to this day, we talk in our life circles when we go drop our kids off and you meet the other dads, like, what do you do for a living? And, you know, everybody's like a executive at an insurance company. And I'm like, you know, cover mixed martial arts. So like that cage fighting bullshit. It's like, yeah, you know what I mean? But like you grew up going, you know what? I could be that, seeing it on TV. Mm-hmm. You have the family support. That's refreshing to hear in this space.
What was high school like for you? Because I'm guessing that you must have had a bit of a rep as someone who trained, right? Like
yeah, not cold-blooded rep.
Did you have cauliflower ears in high school?
I didn't have cauliflower ears. I actually didn't get that till I was like 20.
Still, you must have had a bit of a rep. Right?
I definitely did, because I already had like some kickboxing fights going into high school, and they were all like on YouTube and stuff.
Oh, shit.
Some of the kids saw my fights.
So Luke's got this thing he says, you know, fuck around and find out. Sorry, Mom, again. Did some of these girls, you know, these Jersey girls find out?
Honestly, no. No one actually like picked a fight with me or anything. I went to Catholic school too, so it was like a smaller school. So there wasn't too many people, and the people that knew, like everybody knows each other. So everybody knew I fought, so I don't think any of the girls like wanted any trouble.
So you went to an all-girls school?
No, it wasn't. It was co-ed, but.
But like was it gender segregated?
No, not at all. Okay. Yeah. It was just like, you just had to wear a uniform.
We're talking about unisex bathrooms? Where are we going?
No. I'm just saying, did you go to, I don't know. I always find if you went to like an all-boys or an all-girls school, like that's kind of a weird experience, right? No?
Probably would be. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, you give me this look like this is some kind of crazy line of questioning.
Town, we had chemicals in the water. We tried our best, all right?
All right, let me ask you here just a little bit about, I would love to pick your brain about something which I think you're at the vanguard of. It's you and like handful of other ones really in the entire sport, which is, and you know this to be true. Now, Rhonda is the exception because Rhonda was the Olympian, right? Mm-hmm. So we give her and something of a pioneer. I mean, there was pioneers before her, but generationally she was the level up, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Women's wrestling in MMA.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is when I first started covering it, it was barely existent. Marlus Kunin could wrestle a little bit. There was a couple of other figures. Megumi Fujii, even though BC hates her.
Why do I hate her? Just because I don't think she's one of the three greatest female fighters of all time?
But she is. But the point being I'm trying to make is the current crop of young, there's like you and Miranda Maverick, who you fought, obviously, mm-hmm. and some other ones as well, that are actually leading with straight up wrestling. It's a major sign that the women's game is rapidly catching up with the men's game. What do you make about what your predecessors could do in wrestling versus what your generation could do? Do you even really agree with my premise that this is a thing that you guys are beginning to change?
I definitely think we're just more well-rounded in general. I think like, especially now, like I feel including myself and maybe even people that are younger than me, like we kind of, you can end up growing up doing all of it. I feel like a lot of people previous generations kind of like how Rhonda was like grew up doing judo. She didn't really do anything else until she was much older. I think a lot of the younger fighters are growing up doing jiu-jitsu, doing wrestling, doing striking. I mean, wrestling maybe like to certain body types kind of lends itself more. Like Maverick's a shorter fighter, kind of like lends itself more to like clinches, kind of like myself. And the club I go to is also Cordoba Train. Like they have a lot of female wrestlers. Like I think it's kind of new too for females to be wrestling. Like they didn't really have any girls in wrestling before. So
your high school didn't have a program?
They only had it for like a year or two I was there, because it was a small school. So then there wasn't enough kids signing up, so they ended up having to cancel it. But even when I was there, they did allow me to train, but I would be the only girl that trained.
Right.
They didn't have any other girls. Nobody that competed. I think that's kind of like something that's changing. Honestly, even when I was in school, it wasn't even like that. There's a lot more girls wrestling and stuff now. So I think in the next generations, you'll see a lot more like female wrestlers that can definitely like, I mean, with wrestling, kind of control a fight. So
what do you see? It's like, would you look back at Rhonda's generation compared to yours? It's the overall well-roundedness. Like there's nothing in particular that stands out.
I mean, not really, because I think they're like, you can definitely tell they're not well-rounded, because like the things that they weren't proficient in, like growing up, they're very sloppy in. Because I remember even like watching fights when I was younger and being like, oh my gosh, this is like so crazy. They're so good. And I watch them now. It's like, I can appreciate what they did, but I see so many mistakes. I see so many things that they could have done better. Like just based off all my experience that I have now. So I think it really is just being the well-roundedness of people coming up now versus then.
Do you ever watch Griffin Bonner? The alleged famous fight.
I know of it, but I haven't watched it.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. Like in real time, right? In real time, it was the craziest thing you'd ever seen in your life. Oh my God, set the house on fire! Mm-hmm. And now when you watch it, it's like, I don't know if these guys would get a contract on the Contender Series. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it's that far apart. It barely looks like the same sport anymore.
It's like watching like Porky's. It was really fun when I was a kid and funny. I mean, now it's just like crude and ridiculous. You know, Luke.
You ever watch the '80s movies?
They don't hold up comedically, even though we grew up with them because we're old pieces of crap, but like, they just don't hold up. You know?
Not any that I can name off.
Have you ever done that humanizing athletes thing with Alexander Bohunin? Where are they like, no. Favorite movie, favorite drink, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I remember, not this last fight week, but the fight week before, they like gave us, they put like pictures of like 90 stars and they try to like have me name all of them and I did pretty bad.
Can you name one member of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Oh, no.
Wow. Holy shit.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know? You never heard of Wu-Tang Clan?
Apparently not for the children, Luke, you know?
Dude, ODB would be disappointed in you. Name one movie Harrison Ford has starred in.
I don't know.
You don't?
Maybe I know his face.
I got it. Name the president before Obama.
Oh, that was George Bush.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. We're back.
Then,
we're back.
And then
we're
before
back.
And then before him?
The Arkansas
Clinton?
Guy.
Yeah, the Arkansas. Yes, that's right. Yes,
yeah. Bryce Mitchell. Yeah, got it. all right, so Aaron, I grew up in Connecticut, but as a fellow tri-stater, I don't get to hold that over you because I grew up in an absolutely shitty area.
Okay.
But when I think of Jersey, you know, people are always like, oh, armpit of the country and all that. Mm-hmm. Defend Jersey for me. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jersey's all that bad. I mean, I loved where I grew up. I feel like it's kind of nice. I had like the city close by, so I was able to always go there, but you kind of come back to Jersey where it's a little quieter. I mean, we have the shore where everyone around here comes all summer long. And
what's the most Jersey thing about you?
Oh, great question.
Does it involve a Wawa?
Yeah, I love Wawa. I love Quick Check. I mean, I love going down the shore. I mean, right after my fight in June, the first thing I did that Monday was go down the shore. So, yeah, wow. I love the beach.
How many people on the Jersey Shore are not on steroids? That's what I want to know.
There's plenty. I mean, I think it's just the Jersey Shore show definitely blew up that stereotype a bit. But,
yeah, I can only imagine. I want to talk more about some of the contemporaries here, right?
Okay.
All right. So I'm not sure. Where do you know where are you ranked as of the recording of this video?
I think I'm number 10.
Number 2. That's it?
Yeah. I read some rumors, though, today online. Like, you could be getting in line for like a top 5 number 1 contender-ish fight. That's what people are saying, right?
Is that have you heard something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've signed some contracts already.
Oh, you have.
Okay. Yo, breaking news on the back couch.
Anything you could
today.
Tell us?
Okay.
I mean, I haven't been told that I can't. So, I guess I signed a new 4-fight deal and I signed to fight Talia Santos.
Whoa, yeah. Okay, that's the deep end of the pool, Aaron.
Yeah.
Which I don't expect you're nervous about. But when you look at a fighter like Talia Santos, who pushed the champion, Valentina Shevchenko, and made her human, really, for like the first time in this division.
Well, she'd had...
In this division.
Jennifer Maia had a couple of moments.
There was a glimpse of humanizing moments there, but it went away.
But yeah, like taking the champs back for an extended period of time.
I mean, there was a point we were wondering if the champ could walk on water. Seriously, in this division, it got to that point.
True.
Then Talia Santos shows up. This is a big fight. This is a big step if this is the direction they go. What are you feeling?
No, I mean, when they offered it to me, I mean, I love to have notice. I like to have a full camp so I can be prepared for anybody. But as long as I have that, I know I can beat anybody in the world. So, yeah, I'm definitely hyped for it.
That's sort of...
Ain't no thing with a chicken with
a string.
I know,
you're taking this very nonchalantly. Yeah,
this is how she lives her life. Yeah.
Let's talk about her game. Size her up for me. What are you up against?
Well, you know, she's a little bit taller than me. I'm like 5'4". She's 5'6". She's a striker, but she has some good wrestling. She likes her takedowns off the cage. Her jiu-jitsu's decent. I mean, she's well-rounded, but I don't think she's necessarily dangerous.
So let me ask this. Why was she able to take the back of the champion, mm-hmm. A, so consistently?
Yeah.
And B, I know that it was the body triangle, but... Mm-hmm. I don't personally believe in the argument that, like, oh, well, they had him at the body triangle. That explains the entirety of riding time. Like, mm-hmm. It's also a choice to not fight it as much as Shevchenko did. Mm-hmm. She chose to not really fight it that hard. Okay, yeah. So how was she able to be this proficient against ostensibly the best person in this division?
I mean, I think she was a little bit bigger than Valentina. I don't think Valentina cut much weight. Talia looked a little bigger than her. Talia has pretty good cage wrestling. I think she was able to take Valentina off the cage a couple times with that. And then Valentina also went for a bunch of headlocks where she got her back taken off of, which I think was, I think that was pretty dumb.
Was she rattled, you think? I mean, we never see her make a misstep.
No, I mean, I think she's hit it in fights before without having to pay for it, but Talia was just a little bit too good that she was going to get her back taken off of it. And she did that a couple times, so I think that's kind of where she got her back taken. And then she just didn't really know how to fight off a body lock. She didn't know which side to go to. She didn't know really how to fight the hand. So she just kind of started punching and just would stay there. So,
Did you think Tyler won that fight?
When I was watching it live, I definitely thought Talia like edged it out. When I watch it again, I can see how they maybe give it to Chinga. It was super close. I mean, if I was judging it, I probably would have gave it to Talia just because of like the ground control.
What about the idea that there's ground control? Like, for example, like what you did with Molly, it's not that mm-hmm. you progressed into position and then through position, mm-hmm. but you were smashing her. You were like battering yeah. her. Mm-hmm. And then obviously not just that fight, but you know, you can do submissions as well. Like the scoring criteria is really beginning to change, right? It's a big yeah. debate that we're having on shows like this where, man, control time is great. And then especially having the back with the body triangle, like referees won't really stand you up from there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much value the judges are putting on that if you're not battering someone behind it. Like, do you feel any, like, it hasn't been an issue for you, mm-hmm. but now you're going to head to the very deep end of the pool. It looks like pretty quickly here. That seems more important than ever, no?
Yeah, when she had her back, she wasn't really throwing much. She was trying for the chokes, but she wasn't being, like kind of meticulous about it. She's kind of, like, throw it on quick, and it wasn't really on. So Valentina definitely threw a lot more strikes. Maybe that's what the judge gave it to her. But yeah, you just need to be precise in like every position. You need to be hitting or you need to be going for submissions. You can't really be content with staying there. It looks almost like lazy maybe to the judges. You're just kind of like content like, oh, I'm okay here. Like I'll just stay here and like take a break. So you can't really take breaks. I mean, you're only fighting for 15 or 25 minutes and you train for how long for that? So it's like you should be able to go. Like,
you feel like you and your team have a full handle on not only what the letter of the law of the scoring criteria says and means, but that the judges are, you know, we see a lot of debate of Douglas Crosby had some headlines in both Bellator and UFC on consecutive nights where people are calling into question. Maybe some judges have different strike zones that just aren't accurate to the rules. Is there ever a part of you that's, you know, that's, do you strategize for that? Basically trying to, I mean, like sometimes we debate all the time if we have it right or if the judges have it right in terms of just what we should be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you never really know. There's different judges every time. So it's like you know what you need to do to win a fight and you don't want to leave it to the judges. That's what I always try to think. I always want to like finish the fight no matter what. And whenever, like if there's time left on the clock, I'm going to try to finish it just so I don't have to leave it to them. Yeah. I mean, you just have to fight smart and just try to win. I mean, you can only do so much to kind of like make the judges think you won. Yeah. I don't know. You just have to fight smart and win, like try to finish them.
How far away do you think you are? Cause I know you're going to say that you believe you're going to be champion, right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. How far away are you?
You know, if the Tali fight happens and I beat her, I mean, I could probably fight for the title next or maybe one more fight. If they want me to fight someone else, like, in the top five.
So, like, if my math is correct, right, we're going to be in January here pretty soon.
Yes.
It is at least conceivable, based on your timeline, it could happen next year. Could.
Yeah, next year or
2024?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it depends if, after I win this fight, if they give me a title fight next, it could even be this year. I mean, it depends, but 2024 probably be latest, yeah.
You're so young that in theory, your game's just going to keep getting better and evolving, mm-hmm. but yet, you know, you're like, hey, I'm ready for the title now. Like, how self-conscious are you at some of your own things that you're improving in your game? I mean, you feel like it's ready right now, as is, the shortened the game, but what, you know, what do you feel like you need to work on?
Oh, you know, I mean, I learned something from every fight. I feel like now it's just kind of gaining experience, like, in the UFC and with high-level fighters. I mean, I feel like, yeah, I mean, it's soon, but it's like I've done everything soon. I went pro at 18, where a lot of people wouldn't do that or, like, people didn't really want me to necessarily. But, you know, I know the level I'm at and I know what I've gained from the experiences that I did put myself into just by competing with the best. And I know I can beat the best and it's like, what's the worst that could happen, you know?
You see a lot of young people come to the UFC and sometimes they grow into the role and sometimes mm-hmm. they get swallowed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Why do the ones who get swallowed, why does that happen to them?
You know, maybe they didn't know how to take losses. It depends. I think a lot of people, they'll get into the UFC maybe like undefeated and they take their first loss like in the big show and they just don't know how to deal with it. You know what I mean?
How do you deal with it? You do have one on your record. How did you deal with it?
I mean, you just go back, you watch it over and you try to get better from it. There's not much else to do. I mean, all growing up, I mean, I've lost, I don't even know how many times, you know what I mean? But I feel like you learn the most from your losses and you kind of like, you have to hone in after those. I know after like my loss, I definitely like honed in and I like tried to figure out what I want to do with my training schedule and stuff so I can improve in the things that I felt like I needed to improve on, like what my coaches thought I needed to do. So yeah, as long as you're going back to the gym and improving like I do after a loss or a win, it's just kind of like, you almost have to, you can't treat it too, like you can't take it too hard, you know what I mean? You have to just take it for what it is and get better from it and just come back. You can't let it, I think maybe some people let it get in their head, but But I mean, it's just one fight. You can always redeem yourself.
Also, I'll say this. One of the benefits of like doing this as a kid or as a teenager or something like that is that you can lose in a grappling tournament or even in like an amateur Muay Thai fight. But you won't get like, I mean, you know, I remember you said after your fight with Molly that you thought the referee was going to be in trouble for stopping it late because you were like just demolishing her. Mm-hmm. A bad loss like that early in a career, it can mess certain people up too, right? So there's a certain like danger in being 21 years old and taking a fight against another grown man, right? That's the only thing that I would add.
Yeah, it's true. I never really thought of it like that. Yeah, that might kind of mess with your head. But then, I mean, there's other fighters now that probably like they've lost their first pro fight and now they're on multiple wins. I think it just kind of depends how you take it.
I think Cyborg lost her first fight, right?
I was gonna say, I kind of remember Cyborg then got finished in her first fight.
She might have, yeah.
Your only loss can be noteworthy to some. It came in 2019 under the Invicta banner because it came against current UFC fighter Tracy Cortez, who's unbeaten one weight class below you, correct? Or is she in your weight class?
No, she's my weight
class. She's in your weight class now. Are you the type of competitor where you're still holding the receipt? Majority decision loss to Tracy. You're both younger in your game at that point. I mean, are you hoping that comes around again?
You know, if it comes around, I know I'd definitely beat her, but, you know, I'm trying to make sure I keep moving up the rankings. If she ends up in the same spot where I end up having to fight her, I definitely will, but, I'm not going to like chase backwards or anything. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Dude, just like,
what was the biggest lesson from that fight?
You know, I think a lot of times I think I was a little bit of a slow starter in some of my fights. And for that one, it definitely, didn't help me. I lost that first round and I didn't know if I lost like the second or I forgot. I know the third I definitely won. But I think I just have to be a little bit more like vigilant. I mean, I definitely have done a much better job since that fight. But I definitely had to be a little bit more vigilant going into my fights. My wrestling definitely got better after that fight. And then just my strength. I mean, I feel like everything improved overall. But yeah, I know I needed to kind of like take it a little, and I was also 19 years old, so I think I had to like just take it a little bit more serious. I mean, I already took it serious, but I think I had to really hone in if I wanted to compete at the highest levels. I think it kind of like gave me a little reminder of what I want to be and what I have to do to be able to be that.
I think it's pretty fair.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mentioned when we bring back to Shevchenko, the champion of this division, one of the best of all time, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But she was humanized in the fight with Tyler Santos. But I don't think that would have mattered for you based on your confidence so young of that's the goal, that's the person I'm chasing. You've been using her name in interviews going back a while. I mean, you know, you can watch the tape and see her human against Tylee, or you can watch Jessica Eye run right into her leg in such violent, devastating fashion. Yeah. I guess, you know, you're a UFC fighter, you already passed this, but, like, there doesn't seem to be any cracks in your armor in terms of, like, yeah, Shevchenko, bring her on, I'm ready. I mean, this is a, you know, violent, dangerous person with a handgun on her midriff tattooed and, you know, does things like knock people out with head kicks. But how are you
able... the necklace where there's a bullet that hangs in the middle.
How are you this calm and cool? I know I've asked that before. I just don't get it. Is it just the competition aspect? Like, do you just look at this as martial arts and not look at it as sometimes the general public does? Oh, that's a fist fight in a cage, you know? We'll see who's the toughest. Is it still just the mindset of you, like if it's a jiu-jitsu tournament or a wrestling tournament as a kid where you're just going in there compete?
Yeah, I think it definitely is that. It's just a sport at the end of the day. I mean, there's a ref in there to save you if anything happens, if you do anything to your opponent. And it's just, it's really just sport. They're all just other girls that have to go fight. They're nothing, like, special necessarily, you know what I mean? We're all just people. I grew up competing. I grew up in sports. So I think I have a really good mindset with that. It's like, I know all those other little things that people do outside are kind of like, there's, like, people blow them up. They hype them up. It doesn't really mean anything. Once you're in there, you have to fight me, and it's your skill against mine and nothing else matters. I mean, even leading up to this Molly fight, people couldn't stop talking about the spinning elbows and like knockouts and how I was going to get spinning elbow next. I was like,
did her fans DM you?
Honestly, I didn't get too much like hate or anything going into that fight. And I don't really look at those too much.
Let me give you a piece of advice, a little word of warning.
Yeah.
As you move up the ladder and you start beating people's favorite fighters, you're going to start getting some, you'll get a lot of praise too, but you're going to get some angry DMs from the fans.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I know leading into that fight, everyone was hyping that up. It's like, but those girls she fought were at me. And it's like, you could train to like kind of defend those kind of things, counter them. So it's honestly just being confident in your training and, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a sport. All the little theatrics around it don't matter when you're in there.
Okay, you scouted Tyler Santos a second ago. Yeah. Where do you think Valentina Shevchenko, the champion, is at the moment in her overall arc? Like I mentioned, we saw things happen. She could have lost that fight by decision of Santos. She got the edge and advanced. Mm-hmm. How do you scout her up in relation to your game when you think of what your goal is to get to that title level and win it?
you know, if I had to like break down Valentina, I mean, she has very sharp like Muay Thai, primarily a striker. I mean, her wrestling and stuff is not too bad either. She likes a lot of more like clinch throws, not a lot of traditional, like, I guess like wrestling we have like here in the States, a lot more like, that probably comes from her Muay Thai. Her ground's decent. I mean, she's well-rounded, but I don't think she's like as slick as like as I am on the ground or as proficient as I am with wrestling. If I had to like break down both of us, you know, I mean, I think she's definitely at her peak right now. I mean, people like someone like Talia maybe showed some things, but just because she was able to kind of show that doesn't mean she isn't still at her peak. Maybe just some of the other girls she fought weren't as good, yeah. You know? That's kind of what I think when I watch things like that. But yeah, I mean, I'd hope to get to fight her still when she's at her peak, you know?
Do you want to be the one, I guess, yeah, the answer is probably going to be yes. You want to be the one that beats her, right?
Yes, of course. That'd be ideal.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. She does have, I mean, she is a celebrated figure, irrespective of gender or division. Like, she is a dominant force in the sport and has been for some time.
Yeah.
Taking that's got to be, I mean, that would be a historic moment, right?
No, for sure. I mean, I think she's pretty dominant. I'm not sure how many defenses she had, but I know she has a bunch. The girls I see, like, ahead of me, I don't see any of them beating her until I get there. So I know, I feel like I'll be the next one.
All right, you want all the smoke competition-wise, and I respect that, and I'm ready to see you against them. How prepared are you or how willing are you for what comes with that, the life? I know you're saying, you know, sometimes things happen on social media, nobody really cares what, it's just a lot of talk. You don't seem to be a big trash talker, but are you ready for the stardom that comes with that, the pressures, the glory, the riches, all of that? How much do you think about that? That, you know, if I achieve this goal, if I end next year as the new champion, my phone's going to ring a lot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I haven't thought of it too much. I mean,
Better start.
Looks like turn off those replies now on Twitter.
Yeah, better start.
Instagram. Yeah, yeah. I mean, all that stuff is kind of just like, I mean, if you don't look at it, it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, I know the money that comes with it. I just want to, you know, be able to set up my life and be comfortable in my own life. I mean, anything else that comes with it, you know, I know I can deal with it when it comes. I'm a pretty, if you can tell by now, I'm a pretty relaxed person. So I think anything that comes my way, I'll figure it out.
I don't think, I mean, does anything scare you? Because, you know, I'm afraid of like, you know, spiders and black licorice. It's just evil. You know what I mean? And, you know, people with tattoos on their neck. I'm still not ready for that. I'm sorry, Luke. Okay. I still don't.
Well, it's because you're a horrible.
Oh, you know what scares me? Thunderstorms, you know. And
what are you, my dog? Are you hiding in the tub?
I'm just saying, like, I have no control over it. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, got to hide in the bugger. Does anything in life scare you?
Yeah, what scares you?
Yeah, spiders definitely scare me. I'm a big baby when it comes to bugs. Like, there was, like, a bug in the gym one time, and, like, my sparring partner came, and I literally was just, like, I didn't even say hi. I was like, there's a spider on the mat. Like, that someone had to go kill it. But yeah, other than that, no fighter though, just fighters.
Have you only ever trained in Jersey? Have like you ever cross trained at other gyms, other places, and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, I cross trained at Henzo Gracie in New York a bunch, like before COVID. And I mean, I grew
up. Is your gym in the Henzo family?
Yeah, with Silver Fox BJJ is part of like the Henzo family. Yeah, so
Silver Fox is is it Carl Carell Pravic?
Yes, yeah, Carl Pravic. Yeah.
Carl Ravitch, ESPN?
So,
it's not Carl
Ravitch. Yeah. So I train under him, and then one of his students, Frankie Roberts, is like my primary jiu-jitsu coach. He corners me in all my fights.
Okay.
So yeah, I would cross-train at Henzo's a bunch. And then, yeah, I mean, all growing up, I kind of trained in all different gyms around Jersey.
But in the area? You never been down to ATT or AKA?
No, all like in Jersey, New York area.
You ever been like, has any gym ever tried to poach you, recruit you?
No, not really. I mean, I've had other like fighters like message me and like ask like where I trained or if I wanted to go train with them, but no gyms really, no.
You're not interested in like?
I mean, as of right now, I mean, I feel like I have everything I need here and I've been winning and I love the coaches I'm with and I've been training with them since I was like 15, 16 years old. So it's like,
Who's your coaching staff? Can you shout them out?
Yeah. So Frankie Roberts, Augie Mateus and David Cordoba are like my primary like coaches. So yeah, I've been working with all of them since I was like a teenager. And we kind of like, I feel like we all almost like, cause they didn't really train like professional fighters before this. So we all kind of like grew up into it together, I feel like. And we all work really well together.
So do you train with other high level pros?
I train with Fatima Klein, who's also like an Invicta fighter.
Okay.
Tanisha Tennant, who's an Invicta fighter. I'm like the only like UFC fighter in like the gyms that I train at. Like,
so let me follow up on that. So there's a big theory, obviously, in a lot of them. That there's big camps and small camps, but there is at least some idea, even in the small camps, that you should have, you know, other like UFC level people around you. But in boxing, like Canelo doesn't bring in his peers or people at a peer level to spar. He brings in people who are not necessarily on his level, and he gets a fine tuning that way.
Yeah.
Why does the rest of MMA have a bit of an idea like you got to be either a super gym or, you know, a cluster of like 4 to 5 guys, and you haven't done that? Why does this work for you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's always kind of worked for me. I feel like I've been getting better with the training partners and stuff that I do have. There's a couple of the guys at the gym that work really well with me. I have my brother too. So honestly, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I know of other big gyms, but I feel like especially in big gyms, you kind of get lost a little bit, like in the mess of everything. If you're not like a UFC champ, like you're probably not going to really get any attention, because it's like, oh, you're just another UFC fighter. There's like 50 here. You know what I mean?
Even Amanda Nunes, who was like, you thought would have been on top of ATT, had to set up her own facility or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like a lot of them, yeah, even if they do train at big gyms, they end up like kind of working out mostly at like a smaller gym, so they can get some like their own attention. So I feel like for me, it's kind of worked. I mean, we usually have like small sessions. It'll just be me and like a couple training partners. I feel like I can get a lot of attention, I feel like we could progress so much faster because it is really just us. Not that I wouldn't train with anybody else, but it's, I feel like for a daily basis thing, it's definitely been working. I've been winning, so it's, don't fix something that isn't broken kind of thing, you know? It's been working for me.
No, your brother, you said Brendan?
Brendan, yeah.
Couple years younger than you, amateur fighter. Mm-hmm. What has your success done for his vision and goals for the future in the fight game? Because you've made a quick leap to world-class title contender.
I don't know if he would want to go professional necessarily. I mean, I think he loves training and he helps me out a lot, which I appreciate a lot. But, he kind of has his own life. We're a little different. So I think he's going to probably like, I think he's thinking about becoming a cop and stuff like that. So it's kind of more like his goals.
Yeah. Let me see if I got this right. You're at Montclair State?
I was, yeah.
You're not no longer there?
No, no.
Do you plan to go back at some point?
No, not currently.
Two successful college dropouts right here, Luke.
Yeah.
Hey, my sister too. My
so
sister
take
is
that, William and Mary.
There's nothing, not a damn thing wrong. I mean, you're killing it right now. I mean, who cares? But you were going in to study broadcast journalism. Is that what I read?
Yeah.
Trying to be one of the dirtbag scumbag MMA media?
Yeah.
I think my major was, like television and digital media with like a concentration in sports media.
That shit sucked, right?
I didn't mind it too much because like it. When I first went into college, I was like a bio major because like I didn't even know what to do, and I took like AP bio in high school, so I thought I was like good at it. And then when I got to college and I was like thinking about what I'd want to do, because I was already like a pro, I went pro young, so I was already a pro fighter, and I was like, well, what would I want to do like after fighting? So I decided to switch it to like sports media in case I wanted a future in that. I did that for a little bit, and then once I got signed to the UFC, I kind of...
You're like, fuck college.
Yeah.
Well, now that you're adulting, when you have to, like, fill out paperwork at the doctor's office or whatever, and it says occupation, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you put?
I just put professional fighter. I just put what it is. Usually, sometimes they'll ask me, and they're kind of curious.
Yeah, you must get a few second looks, right?
Yeah, definitely. They always ask, or maybe I'll just put, like, yeah. I think the last couple of times I just put professional fighter, because I'm like, I don't even know what else to put. I can't lie on it.
You could put pro athlete if you wanted to be like...
I have thought of that, but I was like, why am I going to, like, hide? It's like, once they ask, like, where you work and stuff, I'm like...
Also, I feel like a medical professional should know what you do for a living. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I don't want to lie to them either if something about my health. So
right.
Yeah, I put professional fighter.
For the layman out there, what's the best and worst part of the job of being a UFC fighter?
Great question. I love
the
that.
The best. Okay. The best, I think, is the lifestyle I get to live. I love going to the gym, being able to wake up and like kind of setting my own schedule. That's by far the best. I feel like my life is kind of like my own. I can kind of control it. I don't have like a 9 to 5. I feel like, especially now growing up, like all my friends have like regular jobs and stuff, and they complain about it all the time. I'm like,
They're probably baristas, and they're like, F this.
Even some of them work at, like, some law offices and stuff, but it's just, it's just, like, kind of like that grind that they have to go through, and it's, like, I have to go through my own kind, but at least it's something I love and I enjoy doing. So that's what I definitely love about it the most. And then, the worst, I think, is just, like, cutting weight and dieting.
Imagine if she was like, worst thing is dealing with the scumbag MMA media.
Dealing with YouTube fans.
No, that's definitely not the worst.
I was like, Dad, is that you? all right. How much weight do you cut?
You can't ask a woman that.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
I just did. How much weight do you cut?
About like 15, 20.
On fight week?
No.
Oh.
No, the night before,
like,
bro.
Like overall. Like I'll cut like 5 pounds.
On that Tuesday weigh-in, from the Tuesday weigh-in when you get there, right? They weigh you in when you get, for folks who don't know, the fighters arrive on fight week.
Yeah.
You have to do a bunch of stuff, including an initial weigh-in or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And from there, you only lose 5.
Yes.
Okay, but geez, up 15 to 20?
Yeah, well, from dieting. Yeah, I walk around like
40. So how much do you, because I know in New York they tested, how much did you put back on before the walkout?
I think I got to like 37, 38.
That's not crazy.
Yeah.
That's not crazy. Do you know how much Molly was?
No, I'm not sure.
I would love to know that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you have, I mean, you're still so young, it doesn't even matter, but do you have designs on 135 at some point?
No. Right now, I'm
too focused.
Focused on 25. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I feel like, I mean, I cut a decent amount of weight, but it's definitely where I feel the most athletic. And I know I could be a champ at that weight, so.
I don't want to call you out, but you got right knuckles that at least let us know you may have been in a fight recently. You want to reveal anything?
Yeah, dog. I do my own kind of training at home. You know what I'm saying?
Oh crap. There okay. You go. That's kind of manly. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let me see your knuckles. How do I have manlier knuckles? Oh, well, I mean, I guess I'm a man, but your hands look normal.
Yeah, this one got a little beat up.
Oh, that one is messed up.
Yeah.
Yo, you know who we had in here? Do you know Corey Anderson? He was a UFC fighter now Bellator.
Yeah, he's Jersey guy sometimes.
He was from Jersey as well. Actually, I think he's in the Frankie Edgar Ricardo Almeida family. Anyway, he came in here and he had like, what do you want to say, BC? He was growing a fetus out of his finger.
Yeah,
I mean, he had a lump on here. He actually took it and knocked it on the table, and it sounded, I'm not doing a bit, God. It sounded like he had a walnut in there, right? You don't have any disfigurement yet?
No, besides my ears, I'm okay.
Yeah, but everyone's got that. I mean, that's par for the course.
No, everything else has been fine. I mean, my knuckles definitely get beat up a little bit, like hitting pads, stuff like that.
Oh, to be 23 again. Holy shit. Invincible.
Luke's whole shtick is about the dangers of being post-40 life, which we're all in, where you just, you know.
You know what's crazy? This is a true story.
You can't recover from anything.
It's a true story. Yeah. I'll tell you this. So you're 23, right?
Yeah.
Everyone at 23 fears 30, but you shouldn't. It's really not a big deal at all.
30's great. Okay.
30's, no, seriously, 30 is great because also your career should be more advanced, so you'd be making more money, should be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm warning you, remember this conversation.
Okay.
At 40, everything falls off a cliff. It is fucking over.
Yeah.
It is for two douchebags like us, but the drop off in everything.
Award-winning douchebag.
Yeah, award-winning douchebag.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But I'm telling you, the drop off. So you don't have to worry about it. You got 17 years.
Yeah.
But young lady, you're going to turn back into a pumpkin. Believe that. Believe that.
Okay. Back to your studying on media. I've read there was a time where, or maybe you used to hold that, where, you know, look, you never know what's going to happen. You're entering your fight career, but there are a lot of post-fight lifestyle job turns that still are in the fight game. Do you still, you know, chase that dream of wanting, as your fight game is developing, to get into fight media at the same time and broadcasting?
I mean, I haven't really gotten into it too much, but I'd definitely like to get into something like commentating and stuff like that. I think that'd definitely be something I'd want to do after fighting for sure, and then maybe even while I'm still fighting.
We had a great pioneer, Laura Senko, on this couch in our interview series here, and, you know, we've always just shouted her out for you know, just being awesome. I mean, you know what I mean? But there's obviously a pioneering element in there. When you see that, does that also like open up more potential doors for you?
There just hasn't been there hasn't been a woman who fought in the UFC and then turned into a commentator yet. Like, no one's done that yet. Right?
Well, you know, some that have been active, Michelle Waterson, Angela Hill, who've slid over into the desk
but not
calling
commentary
fights
role.
Is the next level. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I always saw Laura Singer because she always did stuff at Invicta too. So I kind of saw her for a bunch of years, and seeing what she's doing is super cool. That's definitely something I would want to do. And yeah, like you were saying, no like female, I guess, UFC fighter has like actually commentated yet. So that'd be something that I'd definitely love to do.
No, I want to talk about you as an MMA fan, right? Because that's really what sparked all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite fighters, like what were the ones that you just like, you know, and I don't mean like as a fan, like a young kid in that kind of romantic way, like hold on to like, oh my God.
Like me and Joanna.
So yeah, well, that's not, that's a different kind of romance.
No, but she's got that dog in her.
She does. Yeah. She does. Who was it for you?
You know, I remember watching Michelle Waterston and Jessica Penne fight when I was like...
In Invicta.
Yeah, in Invicta.
That was a brutal fight.
That was such a crazy fight. I remember watching them. That was definitely a crazy fight. And then I always liked watching George St. Pierre too. I've always been in like Henzo affiliates and stuff like that.
Right.
So he was always like one of our guys. And I mean, he was just like one of the greats. So I always loved watching him.
Do you ever train with Danaher?
Yeah, I did.
What's that like?
It's definitely like intense in its own way. You know, he's very kind of like matter of the fact that you go to class, he teaches and you drill. There's not a lot of like like goofing or talking and stuff like that. he's very like, you know, he's kind of how he presents himself is how he is all the time.
All right. So let me field you with a series of pop quiz, not pop quiz, but like, I'll spit these classifications out and you tell me where you come down on it. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Who's got in your mind, like whose guard do you just love to watch in MMA? Best guard who's for you. Doesn't have to be like all time number one, but just the one that speaks to you. Who's got a great guard?
Oh, probably Mackenzie Dern.
Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah. Okay. She's a really good guard.
All right. How about this? Like favorite, like hard-nosed wrestler type.
Hard-nosed wrestler type. Maybe like an Usman. Yeah.
Usman Nurmagomedov or Kamaru Usman?
Kamaru Usman.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could go either direction there.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
All right. Like favorite kickboxing type fight. Again, not someone in kickboxing, but in MMA who can kickbox.
Probably Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Who's got the sweetest hands? Just like when they're
not
working.
Yours.
Not me. When they're working combination, you just can't get enough.
I always like watching Calvin Kattar's. I feel like
he gets busy.
Yeah, he has really sharp hands.
All right, and I don't know, like who do you has like a, does any fighter, male or female, past or present, have any kind of like mystique for you as a fan? A certain kind of aura based on like.
Well,
all
she said GSP.
Done.
That's pretty high.
GSP's up there. Yeah, GSP's got to be one. Anybody else?
No, I don't know. I feel like I'm not big into like believing people's like auras and stuff like
she's
that.
She's not impressed by the
I'm not.
The
yeah, I don't
and I believe
know.
That also, but at the same time, if you got started as a fan, part of that still lives in you.
I did start as a fan, but I think I kind of grew out of that so young that it's not really like something I think of that much.
Okay,
anymore.
Who's got your favorite ground to pound?
Ooh.
Like, who's a surgeon with that
He did
shit?
The same thing Probably. To Fedor. He asked him, what's your favorite Russian book? And then suddenly they canceled my interview right afterwards.
This is a story she doesn't care about. Or no.
Okay.
Probably Khabib's. Khabib's ground and pound is
That's the right
pretty
answer.
Sick. Yeah.
That's the right answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a mark for old Khabib's.
All right, so how angry are you that you can't make parlays anymore on the fights on the same night?
I never sport that, like, in my life. So, I mean, yeah, I know some people are...
Gambling, I got to be honest. Like, it's everywhere. I think we have a sponsor, so maybe I'll, like, retract this, but...
Wouldn't be the first time you ragged on our sponsors.
I mean, I'll just say this. Not everybody has to do it, right? I think that's a fair way to put it. Not everyone has to do it. It's everywhere.
You talking about PEDs or gambling?
A little bit of that. You ever worry about that, PEDs in sport?
I mean, not really. With USADA and stuff, I think we're pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I haven't really thought of it too much. But, you mean, like, in MMA or in other sports?
No, in MMA.
Are you worried that your opponents...
I feel like... And not really in the UFC as much. I mean, I know I have like heard like loosely that like maybe people that live in other countries, not in the United States, maybe don't get tested as much. I don't really know about that today, right?
Bobby Green did say something. Although Yuri, however you pronounce his name,
Prohaska, not Yeezy, I'll tell you that much.
Nobody knows is the answer. Nobody who's not checked.
Yeah.
He's been tested like 50 times this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. I don't really know that much about it. I haven't done like a lot of research or anything. So it's like, I know we have USADA. I know like other MMA organizations maybe don't have the same like testing. So I'd be more worried for people that are not like in the UFC.
So have you had any conversations about the UFC, about your future? Have they ever like sat you down at any point or?
When she signed that 4-fight contract.
Yeah. But I'm saying like in the course of signing that, did they tell you like a vision that they had for you?
I know my manager kind of deals with that more. And I mean, you know how things move in this sport, things can change so much. So I don't know if there's really like, can't really plan things out in that sense. No like exact vision. Yeah.
Really?
I know what I could do, so it's I don't really care who comes. I know I beat them, so.
Did they tell you anything after you beat Molly? Did they say anything? Did Dana White or anybody else or any of the matchmakers say anything to you?
No, nothing really. I mean, other than like asking me to fight Talia, so it's like I know what that means, you know.
Right. Yeah. Sort of you more or less infer what it means.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I feel like you're going to say it didn't bother me at all and I don't remember it. But at 23 years old, you walked out and did the walk at Madison Square Garden, as we talked about, in this big fight with the well-hyped Molly Meatball, and you went in there and kicked some ass. What is it like when you exit that entrance, that portal, and you're in the building, and you're at this hallowed hall, and your name's on the screen?
Yeah.
It's just like any other moment? I mean, what?
No, I mean...
this cyborg, Luke, this...
I in the moment, I think I was very focused on my fight. And it's like, that's something I knew I always wanted to do. And I knew all my family and friends were there to support me. So that was special to me. But walking out, I'm pretty focused. I saw the crowd and everything. I heard the boos, but I know what I want to do. And I know I need to stay focused when I get in there to do it. I can soak everything in the next day. So the next day, I feel like I definitely kind of like took it in and was able to, you know, like appreciate how special that was.
Yeah. You ever thought about becoming a two sport champion in the Dana White slap combat league?
Oh my God. I haven't watched it.
Please don't.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't be that. What was your walk out music?
It's Remember the Name by Fort Minor.
Fort Minor, that's related to Linkin Park, right? I feel like they're overlapped, yes?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Look, in the end, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. The exit is that way. The exit
one
is that
thing,
way.
I don't know what, yeah, okay. Sorry.
Are you a Fort Minor person?
You know what's funny? I feel like that song, since I like grew up in the gyms, I remember hearing that, because I remember one of the gyms I had, they probably had like the same playlist like playing over and over again. And I remember hearing that song, and I always thought that one was cool and tough. So I remember for my first like kickboxing fight when I was like, I don't know, 13, 14, I walked out to that. And then honestly, I've just been walking out to it ever since. I just kept it the
same. That's it.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like I hear it and I like just know it's time to go.
All right. This is important because BC has dropped this a few times, but we haven't really talked about it. The nickname Cold Blooded, which first of all is cold blooded.
I mean, do you have merch? I want to buy merch.
Yeah, I do.
This is cold blooded.
Yeah, I'm about to say, if you're not selling t-shirts already, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
No, I do.
How'd you get it?
So my dad made it up like years ago.
Dude, your dad is a genius. Can I point this out? Your father is a genius. The man predicted the future based off his own fandom and is just making it a reality. Incredible.
Yeah, he really has. So when I was like growing up, like competing, I guess I was always kind of like the same way. I even am now. I kind of like always would walk out with just like kind of a straight face. I'd go, I'd win, do what I have to do, and I kind of like would leave with a straight face. So he kind of thought it was funny. He'd be like, "Oh, cold blooded." He always thought it was like cold blooded. He would like joke about it. And then when I actually wanted to fight, he's like, "That would fit so good with your name, like Aaron Cold Blooded Blanchfield. Like it flows well." He's like, "I think it matches who you are." And I kind of agreed with him, so I kind of went with it. And it's definitely held true.
Jesus Christ!
Where can the fans we?
How do they buy your merch?
Oh, it's on Millions. If you're just going to like my Instagram, I have like a link in my bio and you can go to
What's your name on Instagram?
Blanchfield _ MMA.
Couldn't just do Aaron. Had to make a
comment. No, because Aaron Blanchfield was taken. Everything else is taken.
I'm just teasing. So. I'm just teasing. All right, BC, you want to do the honors here?
I mean, we have to wrap it up now. I know you got to catch that train. You know,
I kind of do, actually, yeah.
All right, I enjoyed talking MMA with our guests. I'm sorry to get in your way today, but...
You're not in my way.
I don't guess she's a big MC Hammer fan, right?
Do you know who MC Hammer is?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen the Pumps and the Bumps video? It's terrible.
I think I have. Poor
banana hammock. Meaning anything to you?
It's the worst video.
Despite this being a hammer-related joke, you can touch this because our partner.
You're the worst.
Wow.
Can you tell he's a father of two? What was the giveaway? Our friends at Money Lion. They're one of our great sponsors here on the show.
They know how to money.
You can check Money Lion out. We set up a contest with them, as you well know. Mm-hmm. And BC, why don't you explain how this works?
The fans had a chance to vote. And it was your moment there against, I'll say when you beat the crap out of Miranda Maverick, I was like, holy crap, I've been sleeping on
that caught my attention because I was high on Maverick.
The Molly McCann moment got everybody's attention. This is what Moneyline partners with us, their Hammer of the Month, where fans can see who's under the radar but ready to jump through your TV screen. You were nominated with a bunch of other hammers, and it's a tough competition because there's so many people from Dagestan that are just natural hammers.
Yeah, I will say that the competition last month was there were some good fighters who had good performances, and we put it up to a vote. And I haven't seen the results, but what I was told by all the producers was that your winning of this was overwhelming. Overwhelming.
So the fans have spoken.
Moneyline.com/morningcombat.
But if we could, thank you, Mark. We can hand this for the first time. A first time, the Money Line in Morning Combat Hammer of the Month goes to Aaron Blanchfield.
There we go. Round of applause for Aaron Blanchfield, everyone.
It's an honor.
So there it is. You can hold it up for the camera right there. It's the one
like,
with
I got a spot in my basement where this will be perfect.
It's this weirdo right here. He's listening to music so to cute. Kill people, too.
Yeah, he kills what he eats. Unfortunately, they're humans, but that's fine.
But here, our friends at Money Line set this up for us. Yeah, there's your hammer. You now are the first one to enter the Hall of Hammers. The Hall of Hammers. We'll award one in subsequent months. But Aaron, the award goes to someone who just blew us away last month.
Yeah.
Who's making a name? You can't be a main or co-main event, so it's everybody else behind that.
Oh,
and obviously, you had done great work against Molly. So congratulations again. The fans overwhelmingly voted for you here.
Yeah.
So have you found
awesome.
That from this Molly match? I mean, the DMs are blowing up. You walk around maybe at the mall. People are like, oh, I know you. Is it happening? Is it happening for you, Aaron?
Yeah, like in my towns, like around where I live, some people do definitely recognize me.
People sometimes. From high school hit you up?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
What do they say?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't even remember who it is, to be honest. They're like,
I don't even know you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah, because it's like, well, if we weren't friends then, it's like, we're not be friend now, you know?
Yeah, Facebook request denied.
Yeah. but yeah, it's definitely nice getting some, noticing some fans and stuff in, like, where I live. It's all been good so far. Yeah, it's been really
well,
nice.
You've been doing a lot of winning.
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of winning. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for stopping by our terrible studio, but yeah. We were happy to have you.
It's nice.
And shouts to Mom. She brought her mom here. Shouts to Mom over there.
Hey, does Mom have a fight background, or is she just, you know, the school of life toughened her up?
Yeah, exactly.
No, maybe she had some street fights. I don't know. Nothing official, though. No, no.
Well, whatever they did, it worked. It worked. It's you have been on your way. And the Tyler Santos fight, can you tell us when that is?
February 18th.
Yeah. Okay.
Did she sign as well?
I mean, that's the only thing I'm not sure because UFC hasn't announced it, but
you're committed.
I'm committed. I'm in it, so.
In it to win it.
First of all, it's an awesome fight.
Do us a solid.
But that's a big-ass fight.
Do us a solid. How about this? I mean, you don't have to. You could tell us to go, you know.
She'll forget our names the second she leaves the studio, Luke. But we had a good run, though.
Yeah, after your win with Tyla, we should get you either back in here or we'll get you on an interview for the show or something. Let's reconnect.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the, you know, get on that mic and be like, train all day, MK by night.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone, Aaron Blanchfield.